Welcome back to Corolla Classics. Let's keep going with part two. Some more Def Frat Guy for you. Let's jump back to 2014 and hear some JV or All Balls.
Adam Carolla Show 1294, featuring Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, her husband, Def Frat Guy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. EFG's in studio. All Balls or JV or JV or All Balls, right as they were changing this up. We get a little bit more of Taco Bell chef Lorena Garcia and the new breakfast menu. Check it out.
All right. So Maria Menounos coming out. DFG here today. Yeah. DFG? Def Frat Guy?
He doesn't look good.
What's the matter, dude?
I want to give his child out to Putin's uncle.
Oh, no. What?
He's clinging tonight.
What?
At Tina Tainai Hospital.
Who's? Cedar Sinai. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good facility. I know he had the torsion problem with his scrotum. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, but the other thing, he was at Guitar Center.
At the Guitar Center?
On Sunday, he was playing. He goes there for a few hours to jam.
Oh, he does?
On the amplifier
thing. Mm-hmm, right.
He was playing, he was trying to play Frankenstein.
Uh-huh. Edgar Winter.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what band Frankenstein was in.
The song's called Frankenstein.
Oh, hell yeah. So they're like, dude, you've been here for 3 hours doing this one song. Get out.
Just for 3 hours.
Whatever. He was trying to nail it. I think maybe he may have tried to do. He always does Stairway to Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He will do some Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this time he was doing Frankenstein.
Yeah, and they said, dude, enough. Get out.
Right.
Get out of this door.
Right.
So he would PO'd.
Sure. Well, I don't know. I mean, if he was there for 3 hours playing the same. Do you have that lick, by the way?
Do you have the lick?
Yeah, they were playing it now. I feel like somewhere around hour 2:45,
he's getting warmed up.
He perfected it.
Yeah, all right, right, right.
So anyway, he would. They kicked him out, and he was angry. He's like, "I come here every day, and I play."
Right.
You know, and they're, I don't know. They got into it, but so he's out on Sunset, outside of the guitar store.
Guitar Center, right.
Yeah, or I think it was that one.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was set upon by a flash mob.
A flash mob attacked him?
It doesn't matter if... Okay, they were ladies.
What?
Like dancers?
No, like they were teenagers. It doesn't matter what they looked like.
Uh-huh.
Or what type... Everyone, like, what did they look like?
Uh-huh, right.
We know.
What? No,
what
we
do. What do they look like? What do you feel like they're really asking when they say, what do they look like?
Were they black?
Oh, really? Mm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
No. But were they black?
That's what they mean by what type?
I think that's what they mean, yeah.
They kept asking, what type of girl was it?
Uh-huh. Black girl?
I think so.
Okay.
Flash
mob.
A lot of the names had Q's in them. And they kicked the shit out of him.
Oh, really?
Because he was yelling at the Guitar Center.
Right.
But they thought they were yelling.
Oh, yeah. Poochie's uncle was yelling back at the... was he yelling into the Guitar Center?
Like, you know, I'm the best guy here. Let me play Frankenstein. I bought a guitar here, three years ago.
Right.
I deserve this.
Yeah.
They thought that was them.
He made eye contact.
Oh, you don't make eye contact with a flash mob.
And it was only three of girls.
Oh, well, that's not I don't know if that's a mob.
They kicked the shit out of
him.
Well,
no, I understand. Well, he's not a young man.
No, they say he tried to put up a fight.
Uh-huh.
But it was over very quick. And now he's clinging to life. Oh, wait. April Fool!
Oh.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah, Dr. Fool!
Oh, man.
Pooch's uncle, he's doing fine, bro.
Hell yeah. Man. I was going to go by the hospital.
I was going to say. I was going to take a collection or send a card or something.
No, he's resting comfortably. He's fine, bro.
I mean, at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man.
Resting comfortably. Oh,
See, listen, people trying to pull the wool over your eyes all the time. That's why you need LifeLock. Oh. Identity thieves are shrewd. They're targeting your checking and savings account, maybe even going after Poochie's uncle over there. You need your cash. You need your retirement, man, and they're all coming after it. You have something, Allison?
Yes. Listen to this. The director of a senior center in New York was arrested for stealing tens of thousands of dollars. She allegedly assumed the identity of the victim by accessing her personal identifying information and savings account, withdrawing over $45,000 before transferring that money into an account at the local bank. And the victim is reportedly an elderly woman who attended events at the senior center, just like Poochie's uncle.
So sad. Listen, you can't do it alone. You can't fight these scoundrels alone. You can't watch every one of your accounts. No, you need LifeLock Ultimate, the most comprehensive ID theft protection ever created. It guards identity and credit and monitors your bank accounts and takeover fraud. It looks after everything. It's like having a friendly owl that just hovers above you, looking at your accounts. Yeah. Awarded best in detection among ID protection programs. Dawson.
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam for a special 10% discount. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com to get our special 10% discount. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
All right. So, DFG.
This is not an April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is very serious. This is one of the proudest days of my life.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Early this morning, I received a phone call, a conference call, between Mike August and Mark Clenard, who we know from Mangria.
Yeah, he's our Mangria rep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who else? Well, guess who is your new executive field sales ambassador?
You?
Hell yeah.
You're our new sales ambassador?
Executive.
I put in executive.
Oh, okay. They didn't put executive.
I was thinking executive field sales president.
I don't know if you want to be an executive president.
It's a lot of responsibility.
After 9 years of college, you'd think you'd know a little bit more about business.
I am one of a brand ambassador for Mangria now.
Uh-huh.
And I would be attending events. Mm-hmm. Nationwide, although basically he told me that my territory is east of the Bittet, baby.
East of the what?
The river, the big river, the
Thames.
The Bittet, the mighty one.
The mighty Mississippi.
Yeah, the mighty river east.
Yeah, that's your territory. Your territory. Was that Natty Light or Natty Extra? What are you drinking over there?
It's light. It's a fine Pilsner.
Okay.
Get your Peabody's ready.
Your territory will be east of the mighty Mississippi.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we do Mangria events, you'll be showing up.
Hell yeah, bro. Like North Carolina, South Carolina.
Right. All the places that are east.
From the... they said I can even maybe head up into
Canada?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yeah. That's out of the country.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you're executive field sales president.
Right. Right.
You know, and they're like, you know, I'm like, what do you want the title to be? And then for the business card.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wait, you have to start making executive decisions. So when you get to Kinko's, you think of it.
Right. And that's where the executive part came in.
Yeah, I'm just playing around. But I think, you know, it's very exciting to be a brand ambassador for a product I believe in.
Oh, you believe in it. I like that. No, yeah, it's not just one of these guns for hire like P. Diddy.
And I need to thank you because if it weren't for that fateful evening when you – only had a little bit of red wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you put the lemon and orange in
it. Had to catch a buzz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vodka.
So thank you, bro, for this opportunity. And this is really kind of my first job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, we're glad to have you aboard, you know?
Yeah. I got to go to Abercrombie and get some new...
Yeah, get some new threats. Oh, yeah. You're representing the brand
only
now.
Only the best when you're representing Mangria.
Yeah.
And I got to get ripped, bro.
No, you don't have to get ripped.
Oh, no.
No, okay. Do we have some JV or all balls? I know.
Hell yeah.
I know that's something we like to do with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll cue that up. Yeah.
And now, Mangria presents the Deaf Frat Guy and JV or all balls.
He calls from the frat house onto the show, the deaf frat guy hearing impaired roll. He's hammered all day long with Poochie Moose and Mike F. They chug some fruits, shoot potato guns, and then play Okie Cookie. If something's bougie, he'll make the call. So now it's time for JV or all balls.
Hey, DFG, Maverick. Okie Cookie for the uninitiated.
Oh, it's when a bunch of dudes get together. Mm-hmm. And it's like a circle jerk.
But, oh, okay.
But you nut on a cookie,
right?
Somehow, you know, Moose used to swear by Townhouse brand crackers.
He had a special cookie. Yeah.
Other dude, Pooch used to rock saltines.
Uh huh. So it's old school.
Yeah. What was your favorite?
I like Oreos.
Yeah. Okay. And the losers, whoever finishes last?
Oh, they have to eat the cookie.
Right. But that's whoever finishes last.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know, maybe I'm putting too fine a point on this, but would you even bother finishing? I mean, I'd just let the last guy finish, and then I'd lose my momentum at that point.
Once you knew you lost. If it was inevitable.
Well, I'm saying, have one more guy beating off on your cookie?
Yeah, if defeat was inevitable, why would I even bother finishing at that point?
I mean, dude,
can you stop it once it's going?
There is a point of it's sort of like when a commercial airliner is taking off, you reach a certain velocity where at a certain point it doesn't matter if a tire blows out or what goes on, you got to go airborne because you're going too fast to stop. But for the whole run up to that, the part where you're loading into the plane and sitting there and talking about the non-smoking flight and taxiing out, there's a lot of that before that. There's really only that window, just about the same as taking off in a plane. It's an 8 to 12 second window where it's, all right, we can't, the gear's going up.
But everything up till then, you could
back off. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can have 12 Natty Ices in me and I can stop that piss stream. Like that. But when you're nutting, you cannot bring that back.
You can't unring that
you
nut
bell.
You can't
bring it back and stop that.
Right. But what I'm saying is in the Okie Cookie game, does the guy who goes last, does he still have to finish on the cookie?
No, because I remember Mike F. would always be last because he was on ProDAC.
There's
precedent.
And we'd come back like half hour later, he's still, it'd be like almost crying.
Right. Yeah, so he'd have to eat the cookie without the...
Yeah, he'd have like saltine crumbs all over his mouth.
Right, okay.
He'd be like... Oh,
yeah, no, like, when you're on ProZac, it really slows that stuff down.
Slows it all down, yeah.
Okay, that's almost an unfair advantage. I don't think I would enter that competition on ProZac.
Oh, no, you're at a serious handicap, unless you have an ulterior motive, but there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, sorry.
It was like a Cast 22 with Mike F.
Mm-hmm.
He was on ProZac for depression.
Mm-hmm.
But then every time he had to eat all those cookies, he would get more depressed.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's not going to bring you out of a funk. Mm-hmm. You go deeper and darker.
I think they even mentioned that at the end of the commercials.
Yeah, I think there might be some kind of Okie Cookie warning. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. So JV are all balls.
Well, speaking of urine,
mm-hmm.
JV or all balls, old men who pee at urinals with their hands by their sides.
Not holding their junk, just hands.
Yeah,
like just on the hips. Hmm. And the hips. That's all balls to me.
I'm guilty of this myself. So.
I like that. I like that move.
Are you bragging?
I
think it's actually the opposite of a brag. Well, it depends on the kind of urinal you're at.
I went to the Y in Burbank, and the old dudes were upstairs, shooting pool naked. Like, once you, and I mean, like, in the locker room, they had a pool table, but I just mean, at a certain point, when you become an old dude, you don't fucking care anymore. You know, next person's going to see me nude is going to be the fucking corner.
Okay, I must dive in. Now, you hold it so it doesn't fly around, or for modesty's sake?
Because you're so chill.
Yeah, because you're...
You've lived a long life.
No, that's why... why do you hold it, though? Oh. You hold it for aim, basically.
Right, so if you don't need... Yeah. So if you can just have your hands at your hips, what does that suggest?
Well, with the standard toilet at the home, you need to aim. Otherwise, there's going to generally be some...
The
some
urinal, for me...
Misfires.
If you're going to put your hands on your hips, you're doing two things. You're advertising to everyone else at the airport bathroom that you got one cool customer. Cool no hands Luke over here. And then secondly... Usually, you have to sidle up to it a little closer. I think most guys like to take a half step back and aim.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I go with all balls on that one.
Definitely all balls, bro.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Plus, at the urinal, you can get it much closer, is my point. That you don't need the hands necessarily, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you go into a men's room and there are two urinals, and you go to one urinal and another dude comes in and he goes to the toilet?
I'll tell you, the one that's more off-putting is when there's a bank of urinals that are empty, like 10, mm-hmm. and you're on the third one, and the guy sidles up to the one right next to you.
Oh, footnote, by the way, the hands on the hips, the urinals should only be done when there's dividers. That's an invitation to mm-hmm. look otherwise. Mm-hmm.
And if you're standing next to me in the urinal, don't be like, bro, nice watch.
Don't do that.
That's JV, dude. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at my watch,
yeah,
bro.
He's checking your junk. He's checking your big hand out.
Mm-hmm. Fucking JV, bro.
Sorry.
Hey, what about having a piss jog next to your bed?
Oh, I did this for a long time when I was unable to get up and go to the bathroom by myself in the middle of the night. I had a bedside urinal. I loved it. Christy hated it.
When my shoulder was separated for 4 days, I had the jar. You know, it was Mott's tomato, Mott's apple juice or whatever.
I'm guessing the hospital didn't issue you that?
No, that was Mom issued that one. But, there was the piss. I always wish I sleep on my stomach. I wish my mattress just had a hole in it, you know, hooked up to something, right to the sewer. Just go right through. I like the piss jar by the bed.
Piss into a jug is fucking mm-hmm. all balls.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. It's extra all balls if it's a pickle jar.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, I've been getting a little bit of heat about this.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Siragusa hawking the pants for guys who leak a little.
Oh, the goose has been hawking?
You can go to, like, tips for guys or something mm-hmm. by the mm-hmm. goose. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about wearing a diaper, bro.
Are there really a diaper? Yeah.
And leak a little? What's up with that, bro?
Well, I've noticed that as I get a little bit older, you know, you shake it a few times in front of that urinal, you remove your hands from your hips, you don't let your backbone slip, and then at a certain point you drop in your pants, and sometimes that last drop comes, you feel it go down that leg.
You'll need a diaper though, dude?
No, all I need is the equivalent of two things. You ever see a guy in a hunting vest, and you have that quilted sort of padded shoulder thing just on the side that the butt of the rifle would go to. Just a little something, or a fishing cap that's got that little patch of fur on it. We can keep your lures on that thing. That I could see. Uh-oh.
There he is.
Siragusa's got the man. He's got the shield.
This is like a man show bit.
It really is a man
pond
commercial.
These are sanitary napkins for men.
For men who leak a little.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Mm. You know, that's really about your choice in pants. You want to wear blue jeans, especially dark blue jeans, no one's ever going to know. Khaki pants, look out, world. Yeah. Khaki pants, by the way, sweaty ass on a vinyl car seat, like in a hot summer day, you get out of that thing, upside down heart, where your ass should be. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think maybe you're talking about, but you're wearing khaki, dude, and then you're like, it's like, that's the dude with a diaper who leaked.
Yeah, no, that's JV.
It's JV, thank you.
All right.
Poochie's uncle said it's all balls.
Oh, well, he's a little bit older, you know.
But what do you guys think about Taco Bell executive chef Lorena Garcia's new breakfast menu.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're into her.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty. She's hot without really being imposing, you know.
But she's an executive.
She's confident.
Well, I don't.
Oh, well, now you are too.
Ooh.
Yeah, president, executive, the Mississippi, all that shit.
How do you think, Brian, how do you think that conversation would go where when she's at a party and someone's like, what do you ask me what I do for a living?
What do you do for a living?
Executive chef.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big time. They can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a great living. Are you at a restaurant in town, a big restaurant?
Yeah, big chain.
Is it like a hotel based? Is it like, you know, is it inside of like one of the Four
Executive
Seasons?
Executive chef.
Ritz-Carlton
Executive
Four
Chef. Huh?
Oh, it's a freestanding restaurant, so it's not inside a hotel or anything.
Yeah, and not all of them have drive-thrus. Some are walk-up.
That's odd.
Anyway, executive chef, you want something from the bar?
Yeah, you know your food, obviously, very well. Get me whatever you recommend, chef, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not at a Taco Bell.
I would never assume that because you're an executive chef.
It's not at a Taco Bell.
Do they even have... That's absurd.
It's absurd.
It's
odd
you bring it up, though.
Not at a Taco Bell is what I said.
So establishing that it's...
I didn't bring it up. I said not at a Taco Bell.
Is anyone near a Taco Bell?
I said not at a Taco Bell, so I didn't bring it up.
Okay.
You don't bring up something by not bringing it up.
Tell me more about what the restaurant is, though. It is not Taco Bell. What is it?
It's probably a fast casual.
It's a new chain called None Your Beeswax. Now I'm going to head out.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, she's executive chef at Taco Bell.
If you have not this new breakfast menu she has created, it's like from the epic of Homer to the sweep of Vermeer.
Vermeer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there it is.
Right. What's she got? She's really doing some work.
That's a lot of stuff there.
She's got coffee.
Tropicana orange juice.
An orange juice.
Hash brown.
Something called a breakfast burrito. These are all new to me.
It's fresh, bold, vibrant.
By the way, when you're using a waffle as a taco shell, aren't you just, at that point, just inviting a terrorist attack or asking Michelle Obama to drop down and hit you with her purse or something? Like, there's some, like, we all, there's certain things in life that are very high calorie, and you understand it. Like, clam chowder is very high calorically, but it doesn't seem like it. I mean, what I'm saying is you eat it, but it's not a joke. It's not wrapped in, you know, it's...
No, it's not a novelty food. It's...
Right. This looks like you're trying to make yourself fat.
Yes.
Meaning, I like clam chowder. I'm not trying to make myself fat. This looks like something Homer Simpson would be eating on the episode where he was trying to become morbidly obese.
Yes. It's one of the best episodes. Epic mealtime-ish.
Yes, that's right. All right, but anyway, she's hot. Yeah, she's got a look. I'm trying to think what her look is like. There's an actress that she sort of looks like.
Kind of like Maria Menounos.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, she's all ball.
She's all ball, but the menu you haven't, like, gotten around to sampling it yet?
Not yet. No, but
not all the items.
I'll get to them.
Well, it's all balls.
Okay. All right.
What about being past the age of 21 and not being able to tie a necktie?
Oh, I'm guilty of that. I have to hand it off to people.
You can't tie a tie?
Cannot tie a tie. Never could tie a tie.
Seems like something you would take pride in.
I never had a suit or a tie.
That's a good point, actually.
And I never had cause to don a suit or a tie my entire life. And then those were like big ticket items in the Corolla house. And then
they are big ticket items, at least a suit is.
When I got nowadays you can find, you know, the $99 one and get three for the price of one or whatever. But no, I never learned how to make a tie. And then I got into construction, and you don't wear ties in construction. And then I got into boxing, and you don't wear ties in boxing. But I had a brief period where I taught comedy traffic school. And in comedy traffic school, you had to wear a tie.
Wow.
And so I had a tie that somebody made for me. I think my girlfriend made it up for me. And I would unloosen it like a noose, pull it over my head, and hang it up on the hook in the bathroom or the closet. And then the following Saturday, when I would teach my comedy traffic school, I would slide it back over my head and tighten it up. Now, I always had guys, the real pro can make it on you.
Oh, yeah, backwards?
Backwards.
It's hard to do.
But most people make it on themselves and then would have to slide it off and hand it to me, but it always comes up short. They never factor in that
part. That is true. Mm-hmm. Did you have to wear one of your McDonald's?
No, when I worked at McDonald's, I wore basically a brown polyester gi.
Plus, if you're working the fry, whatever, you know what I mean?
I was working the grill, and I was never allowed to go up front and work the grill.
Because you didn't have a tie.
I needed my tie. Yeah. Sorry.
What do you think?
JV.
I'm going to guess JV.
Not knowing how to make it after 21. Yeah, JV. I should have known.
It is JV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But can I say this? I think it's a lot like dropping out of high school. If you're an internet entrepreneur and you're making billions of dollars and then you dropped out of high school, it's quaint.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's a good story. If you dropped out of high school and you're working on executive chef, what's her name?
Lorena Garcia.
Lorena Garcia's breakfast menu from the North Hollywood Taco Bell, not such a great story.
Not so quaint.
Not so quaint. So being Richard Branson, like if Richard Branson came up to you and goes, I don't know how to make a tie, you'd go, geez, that's awesome. The guy has five yachts. He doesn't know how to make a tie. I'm sure he has three guys who are in charge of making ties for him. But when you're working at...
Where's the backup tie maker?
Right. But when you don't know how to make a tie and you're making 26 grand a year, then not so good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What about dudes that talk in Hawaiian shirts?
Oh, no. I think that's JV. Yeah. Tucking in a Hawaiian shirt?
Didn't Magnum P.I. do it?
Oh, shit!
It's been a while, though.
But he's right.
But now it's given away to, like hotel workers. Like, that's like something this one does at the Sheraton Maui.
Yeah, you're right that...
For example.
I mean, it's JV, but Magnum P.I. did it.
That's true.
I don't know.
I bet you anything... They never showed the blooper reel for Magnum, but I bet that dude jumping into that Ferrari sat on his nuts more than Pucci's uncle.
It's true. You jump in a car just through the window, you're gonna sit on a nut. All right, you have one more for us?
Yeah, this is a pretty difficult one.
Mm.
Those ads with Terry, the ex-smoker.
The one that's dead?
Yeah, she passed.
53?
She was like a...
Is she the one with the face? All the...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see it. Don't show it.
It's JV. Don't even show it, bro. It's JV.
Yeah. No, she should have dipped.
I worry that maybe one day I would be the public Terry for dip.
Yeah, no. No, God, no.
That's why I switched to jerky.
Oh, you started dipping with jerky?
Yeah, just put it in there until it completely is dissolved.
Uh-huh. So you start dipping with jerky.
Well, I have a dip in the shower in the morning.
In the shower?
Yeah, then I'll switch to the jerky.
Oh, so you'll get some like Copenhagen in the morning.
Like Grizzly.
Like what?
Grizzly has a better...
Oh, Grizzly, sorry.
It has a better price point.
Okay, I don't know. I haven't shopped around.
He's done the research.
Yeah.
But those commercials, they bum me out.
I think that, first off, we get it. Smoking bad. Understood. Secondly, seeing very offensive and grotesque looking things.
Makes you need a cigarette.
Makes me, stresses me out. Makes me want to have a smoke. But look, what percentage, look, I've said it a million times. It's either offensive or it's not offensive. You hiding behind this shield, this hero cloak of we want people not to smoke, and then showing us very grisly, pardon the pun, offensive imagery. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, I said in my book, there's sort of a lasagna test. If I have to put down my fork with lasagna and push the plate away from me, you've crossed the line. Seeing tits does not do that for me.
If anything, makes it better.
Makes me want more lasagna. Yeah. Double down on a lasagna. Seeing that commercial, I swear to God, I saw it last night. Now she's dead. And it's like, we understand. It's bad. Stop it. Let's focus on other things. The people who smoke, smoke. I don't know what percentage of people are going to stop because of that. I don't know what percentage of people are watching are smokers. Like, who are you really affecting? Everyone drives a car. Tell everyone to put some air in their tires. Find something.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. It's amateur hour. Wait,
yeah.
I just have one more quick one, bro.
Mm-hmm.
What about the people that put stick figure stickers of their family on their minivan?
No, yeah, that is JV.
Yeah, it's pretty
of the
weak.
highest order.
Hell yeah, JV.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when the stick figures are doing something, like great, you're into wakeboarding, fucking awesome.
Or if there's a dog and a cat hopping around.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's the only thing that redeems it.
Oh yeah. Really? Okay.
Right.
My rules.
By the way, I think there's something in my new book where it's like, we understand you're driving a Ford Aerostar with 200,000 miles on it. We understand you're not a gay entrepreneur. We get it. You're a bunch of people.
Oh, is that what the stickers are? An apology for the car?
It's really just you letting us know what is going on in this car with us. But me seeing the minivan that has circled the globe 33 times, I know what's going on. You're not a wildly successful gay couple. It's not David Geffen in front of me. I get it.
But you are also not the dude getting freaking that field sobriety test.
Oh.
Damn. Hell yeah.
Oh, so it is all balls. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Those stickers.
Yeah. Conversely, when I saw the convertible Mini Cooper that was bright orange and had the gay flag license plate. Again, don't need that.
Didn't need it.
Did that
redundant
math pretty quickly on the convertible Mini that was bright orange. That, again, easy math to do from behind, especially. Pardon the pun.
You're going to probably find that dude dead on that gear shift in the next week or two.
Oh, you mean like he ate too much Spanish fly or something?
Hell yeah.
And he just went off on it himself.
Or went to an electronica show and ate some Molly.
Yeah. Listen, I don't mean to poke holes in your theory, but gay guys don't drive stick shifts, ironically.
Oh.
They're all automatic, man. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. You learn something every day.
Hell yeah.
All right. We good? You brought home?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
That was JV for All Balls with the Deaf Frat Guy.
What happened before there were automatics?
Gay guys weren't allowed to drive. They were chauffeured around. Look it up.
Makes sense.
What about, hand of God.
What the
you think, ironically, that long shaft with the big round knob on the end of it.
Think would think that.
You'd think they'd be into that.
Right.
No, not so much. No.
They were going to outlaw stick shifts, but then they decided, wait, why don't we just outlaw Spanish fly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I remember when I was in high school, there's a rumor going around. You could get Spanish fly from Tijuana. And true story. It was made from cockroach legs, and a dude got a hot chick, and he gave her, put a little Spanish fly in her drink.
True story.
Okay. And she's getting all horny, right?
Of course.
So she's like, I'm going to take her back to my apartment.
Is that what Spanish fly does?
Oh, yeah.
Don't be naive, Allison.
Can't control yourself.
You're in a band.
For the kids.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
You put the Spanish fly in the chick's drink, she gets all horny, right?
Right.
So now, this guy is going take her back to his apartment to get it on with this chick because she's all horny
on
from
the
Spanish fly. Doesn't have any condoms. Stops off at a 7-Eleven. Runs in to go buy some condoms. When he comes out, she's killed herself on the stick shift. I swear, true story. Don't laugh.
Sorry,
we got a dead, young lady on
she was dead on the gear shift.
You're dead on the gear. Am I right? Is that the story?
It's true.
It's a true story.
He came out to find her dead on the gear shift, but ironically, you know, this was no, Lorena Garcia. She was a hoe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This chick had more Trojans inside of her than than the Coliseum, the home of the USC Trojans.
Yeah, we did the math. Yeah, that's right. All right.
On the home game.
Yeah, home game.
Rivalry
homecoming.
Game, too.
She had that many Trojans inside of her before.
Right.
Hell yeah.
All right.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. Tire Rack, baby. Oh, man, that's where we do all our shopping. I get all my tires at Tire Rack. Every time Lynette's tire blows out, I go to Tire Rack, go get the tire. Gary's got his two tires.
Hell yeah.
He's still got them, right?
Yeah.
What'd you do, order some extra tires?
Yeah, I was just planning ahead. I had to order some anyway, so it's cheaper to do it with the bulk rate.
I got to tell you, one time I was talking to Dr. Drew, and he said, I'm over at the car dealer. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm getting new tires. And I'm like, at the dealer? And he's like, he's the squarest guy in the world.
I was
like,
where else?
Where else would you get these tires? I'm like, they're half the price.
Just about anywhere.
Anywhere else. Like the other day, Lynette said to me, I want to know the difference between camber and toe in and toe out and offset.
She didn't know? Or she was testing you?
I think she may have been testing me.
She's been quizzing you.
Yeah. What is unsprung weight? Mm-hmm. So he said, go to TireRack.com. Look it up. Go find your tire. So what it is you want to buy a tire. You got a car. You're driving. Let's see. You got the Jetta over there?
The diesel, yeah. The
Jetta. All right. So
No, the Passat. Sorry.
Passat. Okay. So what you're driving on.
Jetta, please.
Sorry. What you're driving on. All cars under 80 grand look the same to me. You got a 17-inch rim, maybe an 18-inch rim. You got a 235, 55 series, whatever it is, and you want new tires for your car.
Yep.
You just punch in
the dealer.
Punch in your size in every make that every company, Dunlop, whatever, Pirelli, everyone who makes Kumho, everyone who makes that tire size will pop up on their site. You can pick the one you like.
Print it out, hand it to the dealer, and say, get me.
No! No! Ratings, they go out and they have customer reviews of the tires. Even though if you buy race tires like I do, you can see how much they weigh, the compounds. It's all there, TireRack.com.
I got a pen.
I'm telling you, I've spent hours on that website.
I spent hours because I needed a new pair of cons.
Hmm?
Continental.
Oh, Continentals.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have Continentals. Yeah, they have everything.
I like them.
Yeah, no, they got it all over there, man. All right.
What did I say?
It sounded like you said something else.
Yeah.
DFG over there. Maria Menounos here. She brought her man Kevin with her. She'll be in here in a second. Let me jump to the phones real fast. Yes, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I wanted to get your advice, Adam, since you're old and sagely. Well, not old, but, you have to give sagely advice.
Sure.
But I have a boss who seems to yell at me for everything, good or bad, right or wrong. He's just an angry dude.
He yells at you for the good stuff, too?
Yeah, kind of.
So what's that? That sounds like, I wish I had 8 more employees just like you. You're doing a bang-up job. And by the way, that parking space right in the front of the shop, that's yours for the rest of the month. Now take some hard candy and leave my office. Is that how that would sound?
The good news, he's giving you good news, it kind of seems like the other shoe's going to drop. There's a compliment hit it and
Gary, what's that like?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So anyways, sometimes it's like everybody in the office is afraid of him, and they're afraid to talk to him or ask him questions.
Yeah.
And if we do anything wrong, then everybody kind of hides under their desk for hours,
I think you should get out of that workplace.
What kind of job is it?
I'm actually an armor tech. I fill ATMs with money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a high-stress job.
You got to have a little ex-military in you to run that place. Mm-hmm. Hey, are they putting other denominations other than 20s in those bad boys these days?
Mostly 20s and 10s.
So, yes.
In ATMs?
Okay. See if our bosses are yelling at you right now. So here's the thing, Mark. I don't think, you guys tell me, I don't think you're going to change the boss man. He's the boss man, and he probably isn't going to change, but more importantly, doesn't really want to change because he's the boss man, right? So if you have somebody, this is kind of what I say with roommates. You know, there's a lot of like, well, this person's a really shitty roommate, they're really selfish, and they leave their shit all over, and they eat my shit, and they're always fucking on my sofa, and blah, blah, blah. And then you go, well, man, you got to move out. And they go, we got a security deposit. It's like, so what do you want to do? Just be miserable with that person? Who's ever really turned a bad roommate around?
Who's turned anyone around?
Who's turned anyone?
I mean, in relationships, people can change a bit, but yes. In general, people don't change that much.
You would think that executive chef Lorraine Garcia has not turned Taco Bell around?
Oh, touche.
In her book.
What?
She said to be a manager, good is the enemy of great.
Well, good's the enemy of great.
Wise.
All right. I'd say find a new job with people you enjoy working with. That's what I would say. I'd also say, go to meeting. Yeah, that's right. When you get your new job, use go to meeting with HD Faces. It's brought to you by Citrix. Simple way to meet online. Anywhere, anytime. Do it with go to meeting. Share the screen. We do it here with new clients all the time. Use the webcam and see each other face to face. And try it free. 30 days free. Visit gotomeeting.com today. Click on the try it free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's gotomeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right. Maria and Kevin are out there. DFG.
Hell yeah.
You can go to his website, deaffratguy.com. You can find out, get some merch online. You can celebrate his friend Josh Gardner's album, Winter Bush.
Yeah, there's a new release coming out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Real soon. It's going to drop. And follow me on Twitter at deaffratguy.com.
Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter.
Yeah. All right.
And that clip from 2014, a classic, JV or All Balls. That one goes in the all-time.
Yeah, there was like, I think there's three or four episodes where the Taco Bell chef comes up.
Yeah.
And people cannot stop bringing those up. It just hits with everybody. It's a weird one.
Adam still talks about it, and whenever he hears about Taco Bell chef Lorena Garcia, yeah, I mean, he doesn't hear about it that much, but whenever it does come up, he always brings up DFG and then just giggles to himself. I'm not kidding.
It's great. I never tried the breakfast menu. I made fun of my friend for trying it. Although, if you do take like a crappy toaster waffle, an egg waffle, whatever you want to use, you throw in like a really thinly cooked egg, like basically crepe thin, put a slice of American cheese on there, fold it up, a little bit of maple syrup. It's actually delicious.
Oh, that does sound pretty good, actually.
It's actually delicious. You make it home really good. It's amazing.
I'd F with that. All right. Well, let's get going with one more clip for everybody. This is also from 2014, and we're going to hear his new intro song, which is great.
It's Adam Carolla Show, 1284, Joe Coy, Def Rat Guy, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop, DFG in studio to hear the new song, and there's some great comedy from Adam as they play it.
Hell yeah.
Def Rat Guy. We got some All Balls or JV to play with you. This is quickly becoming my this and the Matt Atchity Rotten Tomatoes game is my quickly becoming a fan and personal favorite.
It's a race, neck and neck.
Yeah,
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you, eh? It seems like a lot of the followers on Twitter have enjoyed it too.
Well, it's interesting because just when you think you have All Balls or JV wired, he throws a curveballs at you. Mm-hmm.
Like, bro, I could do an easy one. We'll start out with an easy one.
Well, we got an intro. Hold on a second. I know you can't hear it, but we created an intro. You can feel the bass.
Is it on yet?
Oh, wait a minute. This is JV, bro. You can't hear a word you say. He gets drunk every day.
With Poochie and Moose, he's the deaf rat guy. What's happening? Funnels
and chugging. You're so lucky you dodged a man-eater bullet.
Oh, here he comes with JV or All Balls. Oh, here he comes drinking Mad Grea.
Hell yeah.
Oh, here he comes. Potato gun will shoot you up. Oh, here he comes drunk on Mad Grea.
The sax in the generic shitty Muzak-y karaoke is every bit as good as the one that's in the song. Possibly better. Possibly better.
Pretty solid bass line from what I could feel.
Actually, Maneater is one of those songs that doesn't, you don't lose much in the karaoke version of it. The real one is such a synthesized piece of hollowed out shit that it doesn't drop off when there's ones that have rich horns and big strings and, you know, Send in the Clowns and that kind of stuff. It sounds pretty bad.
Your
on
hits
the
like Send in the Clowns.
Big ones like I used to, like I'll do. You know, I'll get in
all
there.
The hits from
I'll
Carousel.
Do Babs. I'll do Roberta Flack. I'll do all the big names and all the big hits. Stuff that has a lot of horns and a lot of wood and a lot of strings. But this is hollowed out, synthoed Casio to start with.
Yeah. It starts out as Muzak.
That's right. All right. DFG?
Well, speaking of music, what do you think the Grammys, All Balls or JV?
Wow. I watched some of it. I saw Pink doing her high wire act. I thought it was pretty impressive. I mean, some of those stunts. I don't feel like I can't figure out my relationship with Ringo Starr. I just feel like
envy.
And then there's another part that's just like, don't sing, Ringo. Like I
don't explain to Christy why he was the luckiest man on earth, and she got it.
Yeah, but then you talk,
bro. That dude Ringo may not be like Clark Kent or like Brad Pitt, but that dude gets more snatched than a three-handed gypsy.
That's a lot of snatch.
You may be right. Yeah, I never really thought of it in terms of snatch. You know, I was just more approached it sort of musically. But you know, everyone says he's a really good drummer. I swear to God, first it started off with he's a bad drummer who's lucky to be with the Beatles. Then there'd be it's the Ishtar backlash.
Oh, it's come back around in a Ringo now?
Yeah, like Ishtar was the worst movie ever made, and then after you're done beating it up for a decade or two, then people are like, you know, it's not pretty. They go up like 8 octaves, and they go, that's actually pretty funny. I mean, and now everyone kind of likes Ishtar.
Let me tell you, he's a good drummer, a Ringo Starr. Don't fool yourself.
He got his butt kicked for like 25 years, and now everyone's going, oh, no, he's a good drummer. I think a lot of it is people liking to correct other people just for the fucking sake of it.
It's they just know shitting you don't on your point.
Know who's a good drummer and who's not a good drummer.
Somebody said, Pucci's uncle was telling me that the Beatles, they said, that John Lennon. They go, do you think Ringo is the best drummer in rock? And he goes, fuck that, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's better drummers in the Beatles.
Yeah, that's what he said, John Lennon, about what's it? Gringo.
Well, Gringo. Yeah, Ringo. Anyway, stay behind the kit. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Don't get up there with the microphone in your hand. But Pink looked pretty crazy on that trapeze up there doing her whole Cirque du Soleil thing. So,
smart to do something that no one has the authority to say, oh, that sucked. Like, none of us know the intricacies of rope dancing or whatever she did. Like,
yes.
No one could say she sucked. It looks good.
No, and there's no element of, oh, shit, this again.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in for any death-defying act.
Yeah, and, you know, you're never up there just going, oh, I just saw Dionne Warwick do that shit. So fucked out. I'll go all balls.
I'm going all balls as well.
BB.
It's got to be all balls.
Wrong, JV.
Why?
Because we know that Oscar is a dude. We know that Emmy is a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Grammy? Sounds like a bad nickname for a coke dealer. You don't know who he is.
It might be a she. I don't. Maybe it's an old woman. You're right. It's a gramophone. I think it's a gramophone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care whose fucking grandmother it is.
No, I'm saying the gramophone.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
What about beating off on your birthday?
Oh. So I never thought about that.
How could that possibly be JV?
Yeah, that's...
That's all balls for me, man.
Yeah, it's got to be all balls.
But what makes it JV is if you do it on your birthday, but you're thinking about an ex-girlfriend.
So footnote to that. To that.
So you mean like you don't want to be living in the past and beating off in the present?
Yeah, on your birthday.
Yeah, so you should be thinking about whom? Like somebody from the future?
No,
like
you can't.
A robot
no,
you haven't
think.
Fucked yet?
No, just like watch something. Don't, you don't have to think.
Oh, right. Oh, right, right. Watch something.
Throw on a the, one of those internet things.
Yeah, right. But hey, let me ask you a personal question, DFG.
What the?
When you beat off and you're watching something, are you pretending like it's you that's there or are you just watching? You know what I mean? Like, is it just you sitting at the dentist's office looking at the aquarium or are you swimming with the fish?
It depends. Like, in the old days, I looked at guys like, you know, Rocco, Peter North. Mm. They were like, you know, like guys that collected their baseball cards.
Right.
I looked
heroes,
up to them.
Heroes.
So with them, I was like seeing how, you know, getting tips on how to make love to a woman.
Well, no, no. Have you ever seen like Jamie Gillis and guys like that? They were rough.
Jamie Gillis, I think we're both fans of his. He was known for the human toilet bowl series that he did.
Yeah, I'm saying one time I spoke to Ginger Lynn. You got to find me a picture of Jamie Gillis.
I'm not familiar with his work.
I like him because his cock is average sized and he closes his eyes when he talks.
He kind of looks like the Ace Man.
We're definitely simpatico, pardon the pun with the potty series, but we see eye to not eye on a couple of things. I remember talking to, I think it was Jamie Gillis. If you can find me a picture of Jamie Gillis, porn star. You should be able to find it pretty quick there, Gary. I just want to make sure I'm talking about the same dude. He did a lot of work back in the day. Yeah, there he is.
There's the Ace Man.
He did a lot of work back in the day, back when a lot of these guys were just sort of like New York film students, sort of in it for the art. They didn't get paid that much. But he was a little rough with the ladies. You'd see him kind of, but it would like being.
Was it tough love? That's how you know he cares?
Well, yeah, I like to think so. I mean, and he didn't move quickly, like being raped by a three-toed sloth. You know, it was like a lot of like slow pushing movements that seemed sort of, he was almost a passive-aggressive sexual partner.
There was one where this chick pretended to like take a little nibble out of his meat puppet.
Right.
Out of the top.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, you try that again, I'll punch you for real.
Yeah, yeah. It was rough trade.
But he was a Columbia educated.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
He's a hero. But
he was a teak.
He was tough. Oh, was he a teak?
Yeah.
You sure? I heard he was Tridel.
No, they don't have Tridel Columbia.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Anyway, I was talking to legendary porn actress Ginger Lynn when she did Loveline once. And I said, what about it? What about Jamie Gillis? You know, seemed like an asshole to me. Seemed a little rough to me. And seemed like a misogynist to me. And she said, no, Jamie was a good guy. I mean, one time he did the dry anal rape with me. But other than that, you know, this gentleman. And she said it like one time he used a salad fork for the entree, but it was replaced that with dry anal rape.
It's a transgression you could easily overlook.
Yeah, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. We all know what it's like.
You can't hold just one dry anal raping. Dry anal rape against it. That does not a man make.
I agree.
Is this on film?
Unfair. You got to stand back and look at the man's complete body of work instead of the one dry anal raping.
You can see it on the video, this Jamie Gillis and Ginger Lynn. You can see when it happens, and she remains remarkably stoic.
Yeah, yeah, she's composed.
Considering she's,
well, she's
being
a pro.
Trainly
she's a
raped.
Pro. Anyway, sorry. Beating off, yeah.
On your birthday.
Are you in the, yeah. What do you think about?
No, I just like, you know, if I'm thinking about myself or the lady, then I'll go for the POV one.
Mm-hmm.
But with the old guys like Jamie Gillis, you're like, hell yeah, bro. You're the bomb.
Yeah.
You almost never find yourself looking even at the lady.
Mm. What?
No, I mean, you do. But you want to see, like, you know, what he's going to do next.
I don't know. I find myself, you know, looking at the lady, maybe even more.
I'm not looking at the dude's, like, meat and bag.
It sounded like you kind of said you're just focusing on the dude.
Well, no, not really.
Okay, so you are looking at the lady.
Yeah, not like I'm not like Moose, bro. I'm not like, you know.
Didn't Moose
the
get
doorman
wood
at the San Francisco Jacks?
Moose got wood at the halftime of the Super Bowl when Mick Jagger was out there singing once, right?
Yeah, but this time it was also Steven Tyler.
Oh, really? Okay. Anyway, all right. So you're looking at the lady.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I look at the lady, but when you see an old vet, it's nice to watch the guy work. Is what
guy
I'm
like
saying.
Jamie Gillis.
Yeah. I'm not looking at the dude's crank.
Right.
But I'm looking at the lady, but I want to see how he's impressing her.
Right.
And how he treats her like a lady should be treated.
Okay, I get
unlike
you.
This thing now where it's like, you know, some of that stuff is nasty, especially the stuff that comes from like Chechnya and like Eastern Europe.
Yeah, a lot of spitting and slapping and stuff like that.
Yeah, like Hungaria.
Hungary?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Hungary.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't need that either. That's not a turn on.
And I like, honestly, I like to see a nice bikini tan line with a full bush.
All right. All right, so beating off on your birthday is all balls, right?
To the ex-girlfriend, JV.
Oh, JV to the ex.
But,
okay.
Bro, I got to get, hey, listen to this. This guy, like, you know these porn stars. I mean, they're just like you and me. Except that they get more freaking gashed than a ER in Compton on a Saturday night. But they're a normal dude.
Yeah.
Right? Just like
gash.
Us.
It's a ton of gash.
Yeah, it's a lot of gash. But yeah, I do know what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, they can bang for 2 hours straight. You know, but they're just like us.
That's right.
And they're the nicest guys in the world.
Well, I don't know all of them. Again, Jamie, I don't want to defend the man with the triangle rape and everything.
Well, he's dead now.
Oh, is he gone?
He left this world about 2 years ago.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm sorry if I'm bringing up some feelings that maybe.
His work lived on.
No, I understand, but I just didn't know this was a sensitive thing for you.
Jamie passed.
Okay, you know, I didn't know. You'd think you watch the fucking crawl on CNN. You'd think, you know. Allison, you call yourself a news girl?
I don't know how I missed this one. I'm sorry.
It's called headline news for a reason.
It wasn't headlines. It wasn't like a huge funeral or anything.
No, I understand. It's friends and family. But still, I would have liked to have paid my respects. Yeah. I got to find out when Jamie Gillis passed now. He will be missed.
I think I probably felt something in the air that day.
Well, all right, what else you got?
Well, since I've been doing this thing, I've never had an all-balls JV thing that has made this much controversy.
February 2010, by the way.
What got him?
I don't know. We're gonna have to figure that out. Because, you know, he was 66, and, you know, I can tell you the man was in good shape because I've only seen him nude. I've never actually seen him with clothes on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Skin cancer.
There you go.
No.
Yeah.
That's what he gets from being nude all the time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he did a lot of outdoor scenes.
Yeah. You got to toss on a little SPF every once in a while.
But recently I showed a picture which...
He must have. You got to look it up because at some point these guys get into real estate, find Jesus Christ, or begin painting. Or all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Well, many people had the tale. He was a working actor doing summer stock. Then he started doing a few loops.
Yeah, loops is what they called them back in the day.
To make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, you know,
he'll be missed.
R.I.P., bro.
R.I.P. I didn't want to bring it there.
Surprisingly, never had kids.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess when you come in people's hair exclusively, it cuts down on your family growth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway,
he goes deep into 05, by the way. He didn't hang up his cock ring until 05.
No, he was into some pretty weird shit, though. The Human Toilet Bowl series, just stay away. Save your money.
Well, also, I don't think it's the way you'd want to remember the man.
No, they...
Do I dare ask?
Well...
Imagine a human toilet bowl, and you're there.
I'm
so
saying...
like a hot Carl, but not on the chest?
I, you know, or let me just...
Steamer,
Let me say this. John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, they had a couple transgressions, you know what I mean, in their career. But you don't stand back and focus simply on, you know, being with a couple ladies outside of wedlock. It's let's stand back and look at the full totality of their work and what they brought.
Their impact.
Their impact on this planet. And, you know, again, I'm not saying they're above Jamie Gillis or Jamie Gillis is above them.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying stand back and take a look at the full measure of the man.
Were they right? That's for history to decide.
That's right.
Did you know that he was the inspiration for Burt Reynolds' character in Boogie Nights?
Well, there you go. For that work alone.
With the limo. He was the first to hire a limo with a adult film actress and have her just bone whatever Tom, Dick, or Harry comes
there you
into
go.
The vehicle.
There you go. Pioneer. Sorry. He will be missed. I didn't mean to bring it down.
No, it's all good. Oh, hey, what about Obama calling Al-Qaeda JV?
Yeah. A lot of people tweeted me that. They think maybe he ripped that off.
I mean, then I don't know. What do you think Al-Qaeda's saying there? Al Balls?
Al
Balls?
Yeah, Al Balls.
Al Balls?
Yeah, like Al Jazeera, but like Al Balls. And they're like, you're JV, bro.
Yeah, I don't think they say bro.
But they're probably like, your country's in the shit or nobody even likes you anymore that much.
Yeah, that's JV.
Because, I mean, the dude's... I mean, I like the dude. I like that he says JV. I like that he's always sucking down kick-your-ass bong hits.
We talking about Jamie Gillis still, or we moved on?
No, President Obama.
Obama, yeah. Yeah, he loves the weed.
Yeah.
Called Al-Qaeda JV. I mean, I feel like he could rush your frat.
Yeah, the dude's in Hawaii boogie boarding with a huge spleef in his freaking mouth.
Yeah, he's blown off a little steam.
But then Mitt Romney comes in and says that Vladimir Putin is a better president than Obama.
Really?
Is that all balls or JV?
Just by your inflection, I got to say JV, because I didn't know he said
JV.
That.
Mitt Romney.
Putin is a bad dude.
He has
dude.
No place to this on our president.
Yeah, Putin is like ex-KGB, seems like a pretty bad dude.
I mean, Putin, dude, that dude KO'd one of the freaking Klitschko brothers with a liver kick.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think it was Vladimir.
Vladimir?
Well, the dude, it's like W.
Vladimir?
I don't know, dude.
Oh, you can't hear it. Right. You have to read it. It seems weird.
It's a weird name. I don't know how to make a
There's
W.
There's a Vitaly and a Vladimir. But one starts with a W.
Yeah, I think he like...
He liver kicked him?
Well, like Vitaly was still like, you know, like dizzy from getting his ears boxed by Putin.
Really?
Yeah. And then he's like over and Vladimir... It's like, he's like, bro,
Vladimir?
He's like, bro, help me, dude. And he's like, I can't hear you, bro.
Oh, because he got boxed.
Yeah. And Putin's like, hey, how about a liver kick?
Well, I know Putin
knocked him out.
Putin, I've seen him. He likes to get in the gi and roll,
yeah,
man.
He's a wrestle bear. He's
into,
virile.
Into jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And, you know, I know he stole Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring. Or was that the Pope?
No,
I can't remember.
I think it was Putin.
He stole Robert Kraft's Pope ring, I think is what happened.
Yeah, and Kraft wanted it back. He's like, give me that ring back. Putin's like, yeah, I'll give you like some dog or some shit back.
He'll kick you in the liver,
man. He's like,
man.
You don't do that over here. You give someone something.
Right.
It's for keep.
Right.
It's not like, hey, borrow this thing and then give it back to me.
Understood.
JV, bro.
JV.
But Putin.
Right.
I almost have to go all balls, bro. I mean, they still got photographed naked on a white horse.
Who?
Putin.
Who got...
The president of Russia, Putin.
Hold on.
Putin.
Pullin?
Pudding.
Pudding? All right, he was... Where
the
was
guy
he?
That Sarah Palin said was rearing his ugly head over Alaska airspace.
Oh, Putin.
Hell yeah.
Okay. He was photographed naked on a horse?
Yeah, dude is out there. And the dude's, you know, surprisingly well endowed.
Wow. You know, my...
Boy, little guy.
Yeah, and I don't... My cock-based policy is I don't pull it out in front of horses. Because you just don't want...
There he is,
You don't
bro.
Want that, you know?
I mean, what good can come of it?
Nothing.
He's shredded, bro.
Yeah, well, he's got his shirt off on a horse.
All right, sorry, bro.
He's not naked, though.
Someone told me he was naked.
No, he's just got his shirt off. Although it is a very fucked up culture when a lot of it has to do with, like, machismo. Like, as if your president is going to wrestle the president of a neighboring country and the winner's going to take over the other country. It's a weird thing. I feel like we don't. I mean, we'll take a guy in a wheelchair or a guy who goes a buck 40 wet like Obama, but we realize we have a military. They don't have to fucking arm wrestle over who's going to win the war. I feel like there's still some countries that are kind of living in that era. Not bright.
No.
Okay.
Bro. There it is. There's the picture of that dog.
There's a dog wearing a straw hat.
This has been the most controversial all balls versus JV ever.
Mm-hmm.
You want to describe it? Or it looks
like a dachshund.
Yeah. And he's wearing like a little hat, straw hat.
Yeah.
He got this shirt with a collar.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a strap to hold the hat down.
Yeah.
There's a palm tree in the background.
Not dissimilar to how DFG looks right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this dog, well, I don't want to blow my answer, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's
by the fact that I'm wearing the same hat as the dog.
Not since Rick Springfield's 1982 offering, Working Class Dog, have I seen a dog done up this way.
I mean, what could possibly be JV about this?
Well, a lot of people,
Lot
of, first off, a lot of people were like, bro, that's JV. Like, that dog feels like an idiot and stuff.
You can go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to look at the dog.
But this dachshund, but what finally swayed people was a very esturient comment.
A what comment?
Esturient.
Asturian?
Yeah, whatever, you know, like sharp or whatever, you know, smart.
Uh-huh. I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
The dude said, check out this dog's 1,000-yard stare.
It is a long stare.
It's all balls, bro. Look.
Yeah.
The collar is not popped.
Right. I know you'd like to see
that. It's a dog that's like 6 inches high, bro. And it's looking like, dude, it's like, I fucking... messed you up, bro. I fucking knee bomb your head, bro, if you even got close to me, dude. He's like, I don't give a shit about that hat.
Yeah. it's a good picture.
He's got that trench coat shit going down too.
Yeah, it's all balls. I mean, I don't think you're gonna get an argument from us.
Dude, it's like he's remembering his bros in getting blown up by napalm and shit in Nam or whatever.
No, it's Norris-esque. He's almost Chuck Norris, like in an 80s movie.
What is he thinking?
It's like the Mona Lisa that way.
Yeah, we don't know. And I think that's what, you know, that's why this is this. I think photography should be art, considered art.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because we're looking at a picture of a dog with a straw cap on, and we don't know what it's thinking, but we can all imagine.
We're all bringing something else to the discussion.
Right.
So some dudes were like, it would be all balls if he had the hat without the chin strap. Other dudes were like, the chin strap's what makes it all balls.
I agree with those dudes.
I agree with that tribe of dudes as well.
I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, you know, yeah, he'd be wearing like a, you know, fluorescent tank or something.
Right. Is it, Spuds McKenzie asked, is it true? I don't want to talk about it. I know a lot of the guys in your frat. I know Poochie, and I know there was Douchebagel and Mike F and Mike Z.
Moose, of course.
Mike McD. Like, there was a lot of guys named Mike, and then everyone else had a nickname. I could never figure that part out, though. If you had a bunch of guys named Mike, you know, why would you have one guy named Douchebagel? And, you know, another guy named Poochie, why not give them? And then Mike L and Mike R, it seems confusing.
Mike Q.
Yeah, I'm saying we got like 9 guys named Mike, but they never had nicknames.
I know. I guess it's easier that way because, like, at one point we had like 2 Smitties.
Right. No. Yeah, but I'm saying you want to give a guy named Mike a nickname, you know, so you don't have all these guys named Mike.
Yeah.
You do have a guy named Guy Dude Bro, right?
Dude, I don't know. That story is like too big for me to even handle.
Because I heard there's a guy that rushed your frat named Guy Dude Bro.
Oh, Guy Dude Bro.
Oh, Dude Bro.
Yeah, he got an automatic bid.
Oh, right.
Just all right, dude. I mean, he turned into a GDI.
I don't know what that is.
Goddamn independent.
Yeah, but
we had to give him a bid because his name was Guy Dude Bro. He said it was like Duda Bro, but we're like, dude, your name's Guy Dude Bro, bro.
Yeah. So you gave him an instant bid.
Yeah, I mean, and he was a chill dude, but he was a little bit of a left winger. Mm-hmm. I mean, this dude got more pussy than a North Korean butcher, bro.
Yeah, so maybe it's good that he got the automatic bid. I'm just saying.
That's a lot of pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He probably pronounced it Duda Bro because he was tired of, you know.
I don't know, man. When his parents, some people said that they called his parents and they said they pronounced it Dude Bro.
Right, then that's Dude Bro.
Yeah, it's like, what was that country we were talking about before where the Klitschko guy? It's like
from
one of those places.
Right. All right, do we have one more?
Yeah.
So the dog is all balls.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I want that dog, and someone could make a killing with those hats, man.
Miniature hats?
Yeah, dachshunds were meant to hunt badgers.
Really?
Yeah.
They burrow.
I get the burrowing part, but I burrow to hide from badgers.
They're all low to the ground and shit.
I know, but I feel like badgers are lower to the ground and have huge teeth.
Well, speaking of being high to the ground and with big teeth, what do you think about this whirlwind romance with golfer Tiger Woods and Lindsey Vonn?
Well, yeah, that's an athletic couple there.
Bro, that's like a mongoose tagging a Tasmanian devil or some
shit. Yeah, that's a lot of athleticism in the bedroom, right?
Yeah, this dude should put a hole in the wall at the hotel.
What?
Yeah, my bro told me that they were banging so hard. Sometimes I forget. Maybe I already told this story, but her head put a hole in the wall
what?
To the plasterboard.
No way.
Yeah, that's how hard he was sticking it.
Oh, no way. Your friend, how'd your friend know that? Your friend made that up.
He said he knew a guy at the hotel and they had to like seal off all the rooms because all they did was bang. I mean,
I don't think they couldn't put
Lindsay's
a hole in
it. She's got to be pretty good in bed, man. I mean, Tiger, that dude got more trim than than the supercuts in Glendale before Armenian Pride Day, bro.
Well, way to go a long way for that one, but you're right. Yeah, Armenian Pride Day, you'd want to definitely get well coiffed for that. It's a nice haircut.
Yeah,
you know, man, shave
you
the
gotta
back
get
there.
A trim.
Yeah, a lot of trimming going on. Yeah,
there's lines for people to get trim.
Right, I got you. All right, maybe he did. I mean, you know, when two athletes of that caliber get together and get in the same hotel, same bed, both passionate people.
She's a bigger girl.
Yeah, no.
With the legs.
She's a strong woman.
Very beautiful. And he's, we all know about him.
Yeah, no, we've heard about him.
But is it all balls or JV?
Wow. You know, let me say this very quickly. When somebody sleeps with you and you're famous, and then they come out and have a press conference about how they fucked you, if you're girl number 2 or 3, whoever it is who's going first, whatever they mention about the size of your honker, everyone's got to get on the same honker page. Otherwise, we're going to shoot holes in your honker story. Mm-hmm. So if you go, I slept with Tiger Woods and he's pretty well, you know, you go on Howard Stern and explain how well endowed he is. You can't be girl number 2 and go, not so much. Because now your story seems a little spurious. Like,
and your vagina seems huge.
Seems mammoth. So You just hope the person that gets out of the gate says you have a big honker, because then everyone has to follow along.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you don't have cock-related arguments with the whores afterward.
Mm-hmm. But, like, do you want to even be with Lindsay Vonn after this?
I didn't know about her before that. You know, is she a downhill skier?
She's hot. She's downhill. She's got two poles in each hand. Put it that way, bro.
Yeah, I mean, those poles could be you and Moose.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I never really thought about her. But now, I'd be a little intimidated following Tiger and all.
They could also be, that dude Richard Sherman from the Seahawks and Crabtree.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I mean,
what?
What are you saying?
That what he was saying after the game to the reporter Aaron Andrews was out of line, bro.
Oh, you thought that was JV?
I don't know.
You don't know if it was all balls or JV?
What do you think? Because he was excited after the game.
Yes, he was pumped up.
And his adrenaline was pumping. And she's like, what'd you say to him? And he's like, I told her what I said.
Right. She went to go say good game. But on the other hand, when a guy runs up to you sort of aggressively and slaps you on the ass and yells good game, I could see you pushing him away as well. Listen, these guys are running on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Give them a break.
Why did they have to talk to them right after the game?
Listen, first off, these guys aren't school teachers or fucking senators. They're free safeties and cornerbacks in the National Football League. I know. But who gives a fuck? We pay these guys so we can watch them do their thing. Whether it's knocking a guy out or stripping a ball, whatever it is, these guys are athletes. Who gives a fuck what their attitude's like? And by the way, they're supposed to have those kinds of attitudes. That's part of the gig. All right, let's...
They're modern-day gladiators.
They're modern-day gladiators. That's right. All right. Joe Coy is here. Do we have an outro for the Def Rat guy?
It's coming.
Okay.
I mean, not right this second.
Okay. Def Rat guy?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, I forgot. As did the voice of Mangria.
Mm-hmm.
I have some very...
Oh, wait a minute. You're the voice of Mangria?
No, the public face or whatever.
I don't remember talking to August about that.
Yeah, Mike August cleared it. He says...
But the voice of Mangria?
No. Public face. The persona, like the world's most interesting man.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
They want to class it up a little bit.
I understand.
Well, here's some good news if you happen to live in Waterbury, Connecticut. The Good Life Wine and Spirits is now carrying Mangria red, white... The new Brose.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the wise old dog in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
In the mood for a nice glass of Brose after a hard day. Brose.
Right. This is why I don't want you to be the voice of Mangria.
I know. I don't know if they say face or voice.
Okay, right. Even the face. But I'm looking for, like, you know, hot young chick.
No, they want me to announce, like, they're carrying Mangria All Products at Southington, Connecticut Wine and Spirits.
Okay.
Or even the marketplace at near Wrigleyville in Chicago. I'm trying to get my bros at Capone's restaurant in Lombard, Illinois hooked up, but we don't know if that happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we appreciate you. You can go to defratguy.com.
That's why I wear the shirt every time.
Oh, you're
bro.
Wearing the Mangria shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to August about that. But
he's taking the spokesmodel thing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I come in like with my game face on, and the small talk kind of, you know, it rattles me a little bit.
Right. We got a call for the Def Rat guy. Hey, Jimbo.
Hey, Adam.
44 Irvine. What do you got?
I was going to ask Def Frat Guy if he knows the best way to pick up women if you're not in a fraternity.
You're going to have to relay that question to him.
Well, he can read it. Can you read it up on the screen there?
Oh, hey, Jimbo.
Yeah, that's Jimbo.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Dude, look, the best way to get women is to be in a frat. But there are other ways. Some dudes, I know that Brian knows this, there were some GDIs that got more play than a week-long Shakespeare festival in the round.
In the round.
They got a lot of play, is what he said.
A lot of play.
These guys get a lot of play, but you have to have attitude. You have to be cocky to the point of confidence. I mean, the other way around or whatever.
Yeah, right, right. You have to be confident.
Confident to the point of cockiness.
That's right, of cockiness.
And, you know, let women, you don't want to sneeze in front of them, like, no offense, but it reminded me, because they want to see a strong, healthy, virginal guy.
Virile.
Yeah, yeah, very, yeah.
Right. They don't want to, you don't want to be sneezing.
They don't want to be
coughing.
Sick. You don't want to have open sores and shit.
Right, right. All right. You got that, Jimbo? No open sores. No lesions.
But you can join. Just like buy a sticker or some shit on the website. Then you're pretty much in, because it's just really hard for me to run the thing all by myself.
All right. I understand. You're getting a little emotional. Look, it's a tough economy out there.
And that clip from 2014, new intro song courtesy of Mr. Rich Banks. So there you go, DFG. Here, I guess kind of hearing what the new song sounds like.
He feels it.
Yeah, he feels it.
He feels the vibrations. speaking of 2006, which I'm going back and I'm fixing right now, the old morning show with all this originated, there's some stuff in there that we didn't know existed from Rich Banks. Like, he was doing jingles for little tiny things here, like stuff you wouldn't even imagine. I can't believe how many times per day they're probably hitting him up. But there's just stuff I hear. I'm like, oh my God, Rich Banks is doing like a very short, tiny, like, it's compared to what he does now, it's like night and day, but it's still really good stuff.
Yeah, he is the best. He's
you
so
can hear his
best.
Talent evolve as the shows evolve, which is really cool.
He's top tier, though, for sure. All right, we have one more clip for everybody, and this is not a DFG clip, but it is a Rotten Tomatoes game, number 195.
Adam Carolla Show 2746. Ball Bryan had a charity contest, and the winner, Chris, is in studio, basically taking over his job for the day, including this game of Rotten Tomatoes. It's an Oscars edition. So we got Chris, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, and hope you guys enjoy.
Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Now, sadly, we can't comment on last night's Oscars because we're pre-taping today's podcast before they happen, but we can talk about past Oscar winners. Mm. And this week's Trickier Than You Think game is based on former Best Picture winners.
Mm.
Oh. Well, it's been a year full. It's been a full year for people to digest last year's winner. A white Italian-American,
it's the greatest movie of all time,
drives a world-class black pianist through the deep South, where they experience racism, danger, and a little bit of humor, and unexpected humanity. It's 2018's Best Picture winner, Green Book.
Never saw it.
Directed by A. Farrelly.
Did they?
Bobby or Peter, one or the other.
Back in the day, I feel like when the movies, the Titanics or the Godfathers mm-hmm. or something won, they were just now omnipresent right. and around. It's like Green Book. Oh yeah, I remember that movie. Mm-hmm. What was that movie? Like, I haven't seen that movie. That doesn't make the rounds so much on cable or whatever. I don't know if it was good or bad, but
it is good. But you got a little bit of shit for like liking it too much because it's lightweight. You
schmaltzy.
Know what I mean? It's schmaltzy. It's kind of by the numbers. I think it's a really good movie, but
we're picking movies that are almost too small in scale.
Yeah,
to have
like
those sort of
the moonlight.
Yeah,
worlds.
Have those big legs anymore that right. are in well. Everyone's rotation.
And the oddest piece of trivia, which I feel like I need to quadruple confirm because it's so bizarre. The guy, the actor who played Carmine Lupertazzi in The Sopranos, it's based on that dude. Viggo Mortensen's playing that guy in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the
this
weirdest,
is a real story.
I know. Oh. And the actor who played Carmine Lupertazzi in The Sopranos
is, that guy?
Is Viggo Mortensen. Oh. It's a bizarre connection that I... Yeah. It seems too bizarre to even be true, but apparently it is.
It's Tony a good Lip. Movie that got yes, a little Tony bit of, little bit of crap for, you know, winning Best Picture when it was looked at as a little bit lightweight, a little bit by the numbers, but it's good.
There's a
it's
thing,
enjoyable.
You know, when you have kids and you go... Here's kind of the ultimate yardstick. You have kids and you go... One day, I'm gonna show you Pulp Fiction.
Right.
I'm gonna show you
yes.
The Godfather. I'm gonna show you the first Star Wars or something like that. Mm-hmm. You don't do that with Moonlight.
Right. Or Green Book.
Or Green Book.
You yeah. might need
go,
to.
Right. All right. Here we go.
Shape of
it's
Water.
It's woke. It's done good. It's black, it's white, it's all the things we need. It's high, but how high? Mm-hmm. I say 94.
Mm. Yeah, it went a little lower. I think it was good, but dismissed by some critics. 83.
I assumed it was in the 80s, but it won, so I said 90. Chris?
I went 90.
All right.
Green Book is certified fresh at 78.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Terrible.
They were not fans.
It's a good movie.
There's right? No, 78.
78. It's just one bet picture of the year and under 80. You don't see a lot of that. All right.
We flip the script for our next movie. A black chauffeur drives a waspy white old lady through the deep south, where they experience racism, danger, and a little bit of humor and unexpected humanity. 1989's Best Picture winner, Driving Miss Daisy.
This is good. Everyone liked it. And I'm going high at 92.
Oh, right there with you, 94.
Also said 92, and have we ever seen a picture of a young Jessica Tandy, or was she born this age?
She has progeria.
Yeah.
Chris?
I went 92.
All right.
Wow, 392s.
Driving Miss Daisy is certified fresh at 81%.
Whoa! Oh,
man.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
I thought it was like universally loved, but
I thought it was too, and the people have it at 81 as well.
Almost a decade ago, the Academy awarded a film that could have been released 10 decades ago. A silent movie.
Oh, yeah.
Two French people whose names I can't pronounce, but will try. Jean de Jajan and Brigitte Bajou.
Is it Damien Bashir?
And a cute little dog. In the 2011 Best Picture winner, The Artist.
Never saw it.
Did not see it. Mel Brooks had a movie called Silent Movie.
Oh, way off.
Way back in the later 70s. You guys remember Mel Brooks's Silent Movie?
Wasn't it the only word in it when like a monk sneezed and said, bless you or something? Wasn't that the joke?
That sounds about right.
I guess. I didn't want to see it because it was a silent movie, but it had all his Boyle and all his guys in it. Had all the
Dom
usual
DeLuise.
Cast. Right. They liked it, right?
It won Best Picture.
Okay, everything won, but the cracks. 91.
Oh. I went a little higher. I love this movie, 94.
Never saw it, 90.
75.
Ooh. Whoa.
Hey, you got to be contrarian if you're going to win.
Yeah.
The Artist is certified fresh at 95%.
One off.
Mm. All right.
It's a tough game.
It is.
It's a good movie. Okay,
Brian's in the lead.
Oscar Staples, Meryl Streep, and Robert Redford star in this sweeping romantic drama directed by Sydney Pollack about an independent woman having a passionate love affair in 20th century colonial Kenya.
This is the theme music.
1985's Best Picture winner, Out of Africa.
This is my drop for awards music.
But Adam, did you notice a very specific phrase in there that I think may bring the score down a point or two?
Colonial?
Oh. Colonial Kenya?
But this is pre-woke Hollywood.
That's true.
This is 1995, right?
85.
Oh, sorry. 85, is it? Oh, okay. Well, this is definitely pre-woke. So that's not going to factor in. Do people like that? I don't know. I'm between like 85 and 95. I feel like for all these ones, we got some ground to pick up on Brian.
Oh, no.
Going low is tough because it just can't be that low. But we've been surprised. It could be
78 in there.
It could be a 79, 81. I'm gonna go 83.
I'm sticking with the high score. This is a sweeping epic. Everything going for it. Stars, director, I said 94.
I'm afraid to go low in this category, but we know that it can, but even still, I said 89.
Solid 90.
Out of Africa is rotten.
No way.
Oh, really? What?
At 58%.
Whoa!
That's a hate crime.
What was your score, Adam?
I went 83.
You picked up 11 points on me.
Yeah, I was flirting with like 79, 78. I was like, everyone loved this
movie. Wow, I am really surprised.
That's crazy.
How is it? Is there?
It's boring.
Well, I'd love to figure out a couple things.
Excessive length and glacial pacing.
There it is.
Sounds fun.
I bet you a lot of this stuff came in after the fact. In 85, we had all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. Now it's like move, move, move.
Right?
Pacing-wise?
There are three reviews here that are from 2020.
And that's it. But are there a bunch from, 2011?
Yeah, there actually are. Yeah, a lot of these are new reviews.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, not the ones from this year, but the ones post-2000. I bet this thing started off higher and got sort of down as the hipster, younger, faster people got to it. Mm-hmm. Because has there ever been...
It's not a timely movie.
A story? Has there ever been a best picture that's been rotten? I mean, I'm sure there has been, but it can't be that many. And I guarantee this got out of the gate higher. Wouldn't get best picture in 1985 with a bunch of bad reviews.
Yeah. Adam, all of the top critics are post-2000 except for one.
Mm. Oh, okay. So they probably brought it down.
That makes sense.
Okay. But see, so I said... pre-woke Hollywood, mm-hmm. but that didn't stop the top critics from getting it
right.
in the woke Hollywood. All right, we got a game here. Here Ooh, we go. Oh.
All right, a year after Gladiator won Best Picture and Best Actor, that saucy Aussie, Russell Crowe, tried to do it again, mate. While his role as a schizophrenic mathematician John Nash did not earn him a second Oscar statue, the Ron Howard-directed film still took home 4 Oscars, including Best Picture. 2001's A Beautiful Mind.
It's a really good movie.
It really is.
Hey, do your manager or roadie for Kraftwerk.
Duh, Kraftwerk, the best, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yeah?
Yeah.
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 That's him.
You like.
All right. All right. Now, the game is close-ish.
They pee on you.
I think it's closer between Brian and I. Brian is still in the lead. Everyone's going high.
That's good. That last 11-point swing might have helped you out.
It helped, but I still feel like you're in the lead. Now, here's the dealio here. If anyone, if I get this dead nuts on, I'm going to win this game. If Brian and I are, he goes 94 and I go 96, I don't think there's any winning there. There's got to be a dead nuts on here. And, or Brian's got to just go low. Mm-hmm. And, or the possibility of 100.
Oh, yeah. Should do that.
That's a ballsy move.
Bald move.
It's a great movie. I say 93.
Ooh, 91.
94.
92.
A Beautiful Mind is certified fresh at 74%.
Nice. You
those 2 points.
Ding.
That's surprising. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, that is. So what do we hate about this movie? What's the angle that pissed somebody off?
I can tell you for a fact, there was some controversy at the time. The Jennifer Connelly character who plays his wife was actually a Hispanic woman in real life. Hispanic or Chinese? Something weird. I think she was Hispanic, but that was controversial, and there was like a because whitewashing was a big thing at that time. Remember the movie 21 about the blackjack counters with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah,
those were all Asians from MIT, and they cast I forget Zac Efron or something one of those.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So whitewashing was a big thing at the time.
Oh, so this was again when you see a movie that's really good, but it's sort of deflated, you have to factor in the woke side of it. But they didn't like the idea that his wife was played by an Angela.
I just figured they're it's about mental illness, it's about all these very sensitive subjects, so it would have gotten a bump, but no. Hmm.
All right. Well, it's those 2 points I just lost to Brian that I definitely needed going the other direction. Here we go.
I will say that 7 points separates the top 3 in this game.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I think I'm off the podium.
In the battle for the podium, Chris tried to step on it and was abruptly pushed off. Your score is 93 for 4th place, my friend.
Bad. Double digits. Fresh.
Been worse?
It has been worse.
Leaving us, Gina Grad, somewhere inside that 7-point spectrum with a score of 79.
Okay.
Bald Brian, your score of 72.
Well, feel pretty good about winning.
Edges Gina out.
7 points away from Gina.
Leaving us the Ace Man.
I wonder where this is going to land. Let's be tied, which is possible.
Yeah, you guys are better at math than I am. Adam, 75, second place.
Oh, I needed that last bit. God, Beautiful Mind, that in the 70s, everybody.
It's shocking.
All right, Chris won because Chris is filling in for Brian.
That's right. So my score by proxy is his. Good
you
job,
you accepted
buddy.
On his behalf.
That's right. All right. At the end of round four, I was down by one. Yeah. God, who knew?
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game back in 2020. The winner of Paul Bryan's contest for, I guess, charity contest for Laughs with Paul Bryan. All right, that will do it for today's Corolla Classics. Thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us. Tune in tomorrow. We got Brian Callen and Sam Tripoli joining us.
Ooh, it's going to get conspiratorial.
Here we go. All right, well, G and I will see you next weekend. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.